Grab your Bibles, if you would, this evening. We're going to begin a Bible study tonight that'll carry us a couple of weeks, perhaps, if the Lord would so will. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, we're going to read verses 1 through 13, and then we're going to focus our study in on verse 13 with a little bit of good news tonight. Church, Christian, born again child of God, you can live in victory. You can live in victory. Would you stand with me tonight out of respect for the reading of God's word? Let's begin in verse number 1 together. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, it would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the extent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication. Some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ. Some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, him that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall." Would you join me in unison on verse number 13? The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it." Father, we love you tonight, and we ask in these moments that you would have your will, you would have your way. Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that your scripture and your spirit would do what only it can do. We thank you for Jesus and the victory that we have in Christ. And I pray tonight you'd help us to see the fullness of that victory. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So, as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, the first thing I want us to make sure that we do is make sure that we know what is going on here. I want you to notice that as we get into the text, the first four verses begin to tell us all of the blessings that the Israelites had seen. And not only the blessings that the Israelites had seen, the Bible makes it very clear, goes out of its way by repeating the word "all" over and over and over again to indicate that all of these Israelites had received all of these blessings. That they had all experienced the same salvation from the destroyer in Egypt. That they had all experienced the same separation as they passed through the Red Sea. That they all experienced the same satisfaction as God fed them and God clothed them and God met their thirst and God directed and met every single one of their needs. And the Bible here indicates that though they had all been blessed, many fell. Many failed. Or otherwise forsook God. In verses 5 through 10 then, we see that they had been delivered by God, but had found themselves defeated in the wilderness. That the Israelites fell into wicked wants. They fell into wicked worship. They fell into wicked works. They fell into wicked ways. They fell into wicked words. They fell and they failed. And they forsook God because though their body was headed to the promised land, for many of them their heart was still firmly planted in Egypt. Now Paul calls these these things to remembrance, to be an example and a warning for us. Because can't we say tonight, church, that just like Israel, God has been good to all of us. That whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. That He has accomplished our salvation. That He is accomplishing our sanctification. That He offers us satisfaction. And when it comes to God dealing with His children, the reality is that He, Almighty God, has been good to all of us. But can we say, just like Israel, with many of us, God is not always pleased? You know, in our own lives and experiences, we could probably all name someone or someones who seem so strong in the faith, but have failed, have fallen, have forsook the ways of God. You know, I think of even in my own life, two of my spiritual mentors are today in prison. Churches that I have loved personally have closed their doors. The reality is verse number 12 is written for us. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. But church, then we come to verse 13. And I'm going to tell you, after reading all that other stuff, verse 13, I tell you, it's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Because you know what verse 13 communicates to us? It communicates that as wicked as your flesh is, as crooked as this world is, as abominable as that old devil is, you and I, as children of God, don't have to fall. We don't have to give in to temptation. We can live in victory. Because the same God that set the stars in the sky, and the same God who had the power to put the moon in its place, and the same God who had the power to mold man and to breathe into him the breath of life, has the power to fulfill this glorious verse in my life, has the power to fulfill the promise of this glorious verse in your life. And tonight I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that you can make it, that your marriage can make it, that your kids can make it, that the ministry can make it, that you can overcome it, because verse 13 and the glorious promise that's found in it. I'm going to tell you, 1 Corinthians 10:13 works not because you remember the Harvest Baptist Temple. I'm going to have to pace myself tonight, all right? 1 Corinthians 10:13 doesn't work because you're a member of the Harvest Baptist Temple. 1 Corinthians 10:13 doesn't work because you're somebody, but because you have somebody with a capital S living within you. And so tonight I want to begin the study simply entitled, You Can Live in Victory. I want you to notice with me first, number one, you are not immune. You are not immune. There is a real conflict going on in the world around us. Now, I want us to understand, you look at verse number 13, the Bible says, there have no temptation taken you. Now, that word temptation, it really is a very broad word. It's amoral. For instance, it's neither good nor bad. It could refer to trials, and it could refer to temptations to sin. It could refer to stress and all of those different things. But I want you to understand that in the context we are looking at, that word temptation is defined for us. This is not talking about stress. This is not talking about struggles. This is talking about when you and I are tempted to sin. And to understand tonight, the Bible teaches that temptation in regards to sin is not an if, but a when. You look at verses like James chapter 1 and verse number 13, where the Bible says this: let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted, or God, for God cannot be tempted with either, neither tempteth he any man. Notice that first phrase: let no man say when he is tempted. And I'll just point this out. If the devil tried to get Jesus Christ, what makes you think he ain't gonna try to get you? All right? So, understanding biblically for us, temptation is not an if, it is a when. That word taken there in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10, there hath no temptation taken you, has the idea of to seize, to lay hold of. It kind of even gives the connotation to come upon. And so the idea that this temptation for you and I to sin, to fall, to fail, to forsake the ways of God, it will come upon us. And that is because we live in the midst of real conflict. The kingdom of God, hear me now, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world do not and cannot peacefully coexist. We looked at a verse Sunday night. We'll look at it here. 1 John chapter number 2, verses 15 and 16 reminds us that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. These two systems, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, cannot and do not peacefully coexist. And the conflict, hear me now, is greater than we can even begin to imagine. The spiritual war that is taking place. The Church of Jesus Christ, the Christian, cannot afford to live like these two systems are compatible. Let me show you another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We'll begin in verse number 14, where the Bible reminds us, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Verses often is used to talk about marriage, and that statement, though, goes far beyond marriage. Be not equally yoked together with unbelievers. Listen, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Church, a little feedback here. The obvious answer, what commonality does righteousness and unrighteousness have? The answer is none. Okay, right. And what communion hath light with darkness? And the answer is none. Verse 15. And what concord, what agreement does Christ have with Belial? The answer again is, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16, look what it says. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Church, we cannot afford, Christian, you cannot afford to live like these two systems are compatible, because they're not. The world is not your friend. It's not. And it's a sad day. It's a sad day. Because I find more and more that people who call themselves Christians know more about the Grammys than they do about the gospel. People who call themselves Christians know more about their favorite player than they do about the parables of Jesus. We live in a day and age where the church has a far greater handle on technology than they do they have a far greater handle on technology than they do on theology. Church, there is a real conflict. And the reality is we are not immune, so we need to be really careful. Because we wake up every day on a battlefield. We wake up every day on a battlefield. We wake up every day to an enemy who is very powerful. I know we like to make fun of the devil, but you understand when the Bible gives us pictures of the devil in Scripture, pictures him as a lion and as a dragon. A couple of them. not something I'm looking forward to going up against personally. I don't know about you. We wake up every day to an enemy who's very powerful. We wake up every day to an enemy who is very smart. The Bible describes him as subtle, as intelligent. We wake up every day to an enemy, hear me, who has no intention of playing fair. You know what? If the devil can get you to believe, or if the devil can get me to believe that I can never fall, I'm in real trouble. If the devil can get me to believe, hey, I've got it under control, I'm in real trouble. Because to live in ignorance of the reality to temptation, or to our vulnerability to it, is to live on the edge of destruction. Because when you got saved, let me let you in on something. When you got saved, your flesh did not. When you got saved, you got targeted. Because you now represent the King. And I'm going to tell you, if Adam could fall in paradise, and Moses could sin like he did, having experienced all that he did, if David could sin, if Peter could fall, so can you and so can I. That's why the Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. I'm going to tell you, you can live in victory, but you are not immune. And I show you as well in regards to living in victory, not only are you not immune, I want you to look at verse number 13 again. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You know, this means the temptation that we face is common to human experience. The devil wants you to believe tonight that I, in my temptation, I in my struggle, I in the sin that so easily besets me, the devil wants you to think I could never be understood. That nobody could really understand what I face. Nobody could understand what I am going through. But the reality is, according to the Word of God, is that what has come over you, what has taken you, has also come over others. Do you know why the devil wants you to think I could never be understood? Because I could never be understood very naturally leads to the thought that I can never be helped. Because if you can't understand me, you can't help me. And so what the devil does with those things is he wants to take the sin and he wants to take the shame, and it brings, and what it does is it pushes us towards isolation. We have to hide it. We have to keep it. Nobody can see. You wouldn't understand anyways. You couldn't help me anyways. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows what I'm facing. Sorry, Lucas, on the camera. I know I'm giving you a run tonight. And what the devil does is he takes the sin and he takes the shame. And doesn't sin and shame isolate us? It leads us to believe that we are the only one. That we are by ourselves. That if we seek help, we will only be forsaken and forgotten. You ever thought that? If anybody ever really knew how I struggled, nobody would ever talk to me again. Devil wants you to think that if you seek help, you will be forsaken and forgotten, that you face this alone. Hear me, church. Hear me, Christian. The Bible teaches very clearly, you can live in victory because you are not alone. You are not alone. I'm going to tell you this, not only have the temptations that have come over you come over others, But the temptations that have come over you have also, by God's grace, been overcome by others. The Bible teaches that there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You are not alone. We are not alone. As we seek to live in victory, we are not alone. We all struggle with sins that can beset us. But the reality is, one of the great things that God has given us is that God has given us one another, that we need to connect ourselves with those who can help us to walk in victory. Let me give you a verse that we don't often talk about much as Baptists. But it's in the book, so we ought to talk about it, amen? James 5, verse 16. Look what it says. It says, confess your faults one to another. That's not one we like to practice much, is it? Hey, brother, let me tell you all the areas I'm struggling. That's not what we do, is it? We say, hey, brother, let me tell you all the areas I'm blessed. Hey, brother, maybe I'll talk about my physical struggles. Maybe even sometimes I'll talk about my emotional struggles. But you know what we don't do? We don't do real good getting help with our spiritual struggles. But hey, you want to live in victory? You want to live in victory? You want to live in victory? You got to recognize you are not alone. And the Bible here, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You say, well, preacher, how do you know that has to do with sin? Again, let's look at the context. You go one verse back in regards to prayer and confessing our faults one to another. And the Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. So even in this whole context, we see both the physical and the spiritual aspects, how they are intertwined. You are not alone. I'm going to tell you, God has placed you in a body, in a church body, in a church family for a reason. Because the body needs each other. We are not alone. And I'm going to tell you, church, this is something that I've got to do a better job at. This is something we've all got to do a better job at. The body is not just here for our physical needs. And I am so grateful. I have experienced in my life, probably more than most, the body being there for people in physical need. And I am so grateful for that. And I am so grateful for a church who's there for people in emotional need and in emotional struggles. But church, we have got to be a church who is there for one another in spiritual need. You know, we have programs like RU. And that's the point, that we be there for one another in that spiritual need, in those sins that beset us. You know why I started with we are not immune? Because we all have to realize our propensity to sinfulness. Because if I don't recognize my struggle, you might not struggle with lust. You might not struggle with heroin. You might not struggle with alcohol. You might not struggle with lying. You might not struggle with stealing. You might not struggle with using the Lord's name in vain. You might not struggle with that. You, in particular, might struggle with pride. You, in particular, might struggle with anger and forgiveness. Church, the reality is we all struggle. And I don't have to go through and name a bunch because the Holy Spirit does a real good job of doing that to our own hearts. And when we realize we are not immune, we see the importance of the fact that we are not alone. That's why we have ministries like RU here at Harvest. That's why our pastoral staff works very hard. Not that we as the pastoral staff have all the answers, But if we as the pastoral staff can help in any way in counseling, accountability, it's why we try to extend ourselves like we do. That's why we have small groups. That's why we develop friendships. That's why we encourage things like accountability partners, because you are not alone. In this day and age, people are scared to death of accountability. We feel like accountability would squash our freedom. We feel like standards would stifle our liberty. Do you know what accountability and standards, fences, walls do? They don't stifle your liberty. They don't stifle your freedom. They secure it. They help protect it. You are not alone. And let me make one point as we move on here. You seek help and you seek counsel, seek spiritual counsel. If you're struggling with alcohol, you don't go to the bar to look for help. You can look for people to commiserate with you, but they're not going to be able to help you. You look for people who have overcome what has come over you. That's what you need. You need spiritual counsel. Spiritual counsel. You want to live in victory? How many of us want to live in victory? You're not immune. You're not alone. Look with me at verse 13 one more time. We're almost done. The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Can you say in unison those next four words with me? But God is faithful. Church, want to live in victory? Hey, recognize you're not immune. You want to live in victory? Recognize you are not alone. You want to live in victory? You have to recognize you are not a victim. You're not a victim. Your problems are great. And I don't ever want to minimize in any way the struggle that people face. Because struggles in this life are real, and struggles in this life are great. But I'm going to tell you, just like the devil wants you to believe that you could never fall, and just like the devil wants you to believe that you could never be understood and that you could never be helped, the devil wants you to believe that you can never truly have lasting victory. But that's a lie. Because you, child of God, are not a victim. You, born again saint, are not a victim. Because though your problem is great, his person is greater. Though your problem is great, his power is greater. Though your problem is great, his promise is greater. Though your problem and even your falling and your failure is great, his plan is greater. And I'm going to tell you what makes all the difference in verse number 13. Yes, it's wonderful that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But what makes verse 13, what really makes verse 13 is those next two words, but God. But God. But God makes all the difference. You see, the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 7, that scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the Bible says that even while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, that he quickened us who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse number 2, the Bible says of Ephesians 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in past time in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now that's a pretty dire situation. But God, don't ever get over that. Don't ever get over that. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. All the way to verse number 10, where it reminds us that we are his workmanship. Created in Christ. I'm not a victim. I am his workmanship. I am not bound by the chains the devil wants to put on me. I am his workmanship. I am not bound by the lust and the desires of my flesh and the frailty of this body. I am his workmanship. I am not a victim. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, Christian, you can live in victory because in Christ you are not a victim. You are a victor. Because as the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because as the Bible admonishes us in Ephesians chapter 6, that we be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that we put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Understand this, church, you can live in victory. I understand your problem is great. I understand you struggled for years. I understand that even some of us in this room have wept and prayed over people who have been bound by sin for years. And we think sometimes there's no hope. But I'm going to tell you, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is always hope. Because in Christ, I am not a victim. I am a victor. More. Him that loved us. Christian, here, your flesh is wicked. This world is crooked. The devil and all his schemes and plans is abominable. But I don't have to fall into sin. We don't have to give in to temptation. You can live in victory because the same God who has the power to set the stars in the sky, the same God who took the moon and he hung it in place, the same God who reached down into the dust of the ground and formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Hear me, the same God who had the power to lay down his life and take it up again has the power to fulfill this verse in my life and in yours. Christian, tonight, on the authority of God's word, you can make it. Your marriage can make it. Your kids can make it. The ministry, it can make it. You can overcome it. You can live